Thank you, DBJ and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Fasten your seatbelts. Let's go ahead very quickly and get into our teaching time today as we continue with this message series called A Cynic's Guide to Prayer. And today is part two of something I started a couple of weeks ago called Praying for Healing. And let me just kind of start and again give sort of the foundational statement for this entire series, and that is prayer causes good things to happen that would not have happened if you didn't pray. That means that prayer is your ally, and this is why prayer is such a staggeringly glorious privilege for us. And we are invited to pray for healing, physical healing as well. Last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned how that sickness, of course, can be the great interrupter. It comes into our lives, knocking, interrupting, arresting plans, diminishing hopes for the future. And every Sunday when we gather, we have a wider range of emotions here. Some of you are in a celebratory mood, and some of you have some, you're dealing with some physical illnesses that can, precipitate a number of emotions: confusion, betrayal, shock, anger, jealousy, despair. Question. Let me put this question up on the screen. Do believers have the right to be well? There are some Christians and some circles of Christianity that would affirm that you, as a Christian, you have the right to health and wholeness and even wealth. And I think that's a legitimate question. Do believers have the right to be well? Well, that mindset is based on a particular interpretation of some scriptures. Have you ever heard the phrase atonement healing? Ever heard of atonement healing? Atonement healing is a mindset that would... If I believed in atonement healing, I would say that Jesus not only died for your sins, he also died for your sicknesses. And you don't have to stay unforgiven, neither do you have to stay unhealthy. By faith, you can be forgiven, and by faith, you can also be made healthy. Atonement healers would affirm that physical healing is part of the gospel. You've probably heard the phrase full gospel. I'm a full gospel believer. We are a full gospel church. That's sort of what that alludes to. Folks, I want to be very, very clear. I boldly affirm, I believe that God still heals and that we are invited to pray for healing. My personal belief, though, is that God is not obligated to heal on demand, and that some of God's finest people were sick and did not receive a physical healing. That healing, physical healing, is a gift and not an obligation. You read through your Bible, in Philippians chapter 2, you're going to read about Epaphroditus, who was sick. You're going to read about Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4. Who was sick and left at Miletus. You will read about Timothy himself, who was told to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and his frequent illnesses. And Paul himself even ended up in Galatia because of an illness and even had a thorn in the flesh that was not removed. And many think that that thorn was perhaps a physical infirmity. Well, those scriptures that I alluded to a moment ago, that if I were a proponent of atonement healing, those who are proponents base that mindset on the following scriptures, okay? Here's a messianic prophecy from Isaiah 53. You ready? But he, and this is a prophecy concerning Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I believe that in the context here, it's talking about spiritual healing, and that throughout the book of Isaiah, for example, that sickness is used as a metaphor for sin and healing as a metaphor for redemption and spiritual revival. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6, and this is a line that Jesus himself would quote, "Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." I think Peter understood that to refer to spiritual healing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." I think that a clear reading of that passage shows that the context is that at the cross, we are delivered from the disease of sin and that we have been spiritually healed. And personally, my personal take is, I find no teaching in Scripture that says it is always God's will to physically heal or that God hates sickness as much as he hates sin. I believe God is much more concerned about your holiness than your health, although your health is something we're invited to pray about. God heals, and we should pray for healing. But not all are made healthy on demand. So, how then do we live with that kind of tension? Healing is a gift from God, and when God gives his gifts, we don't always understand his reasons. Let me use an analogy. Remember in the early days of the church, you had two apostles who were imprisoned. You had the apostle James, and you had the apostle Peter. I'm sure both were prayed over. James was beheaded and became the first apostle to be martyred. Peter was released from prison and lived for another 25 years until he was martyred in his mid-60s. Why was James not released? Why was Peter released? I don't know. God gives grace as he apportions it, says the Scripture. And I would say to you today that we worship a God who can heal, but we do not worship the God of good health. And I have met people before who want a physical healing even more than they want God. And sometimes when good health returns, their passion for God disappears. Now, I would like to just to prove to you that fools will rush in where angels fear to tread. Your foolish preacher is going to rush in and try to, I'm going to put something up on the screen here, six reasons physical healing may not occur. Now, you may come up with more. I have found six. I prefer to just write the word mystery after it all. Why does a physical healing not occur? Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Why would it not? I prefer just to say it's a grand mystery. It's a godly mystery. But foolishly, perhaps I will step in. Number one, in this world, everybody is wasting away. And that's not a misprint. I realize the word everybody is one word. I mean everybody. Every physical body is wasting away. 2 Corinthians 4, though outwardly we are wasting away, the atonement of Christ does not prevent you from wasting away. Yet outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now please just leave this scripture up on the screen for a moment. I want you to know that the Bible views our present salvation as primarily confined to the spiritual part of man. Your body is yet to be fully redeemed, and there are blessings that you have in Christ, listen carefully, that you've not tasted yet. And a glorious body is one of those blessings. And so outwardly, we're still wasting away. If you were to go this week to get a physical checkup, your doctor might just come back and say, hey, you are wasting away. And you would say, thought so. Last weekend, Martha and I were away, and the reason we were away is that I did a wedding last Saturday for one of my nephews, Martha's twin sister's older son. Got that? I did that wedding last Saturday. Well, last Friday night, of course, is the rehearsal, and at this rehearsal, we're seeing, it was like a family reunion, we're seeing folks, not extended family, but extended friends of family that we had not seen in 18, 20 years. It's back in Nashville, you know, where kind of where we're from. And so we're at this church on a Friday night, and folks start coming in. All of a sudden, I see this lady, and this lady's like 25 years older than I am, sharp as a tack. And Martha and I have been in her home many times over the years back in our, you know, younger days. I mean, we've been around her a lot. I consider her, actually, if I really needed something, I could call this lady. I see her. I walk up to her, and she sticks out her hand to introduce herself to me. She said, well, hello, my name is da-da-da. I said, I know who you are. I'm Ronnie. Ronnie, I would have never recognized you. Which was her polite way of saying what? Hey, you are wasting away. Okay, so we finished the wedding, you know, Saturday, and late Saturday night we drive down to Columbia, my hometown. We're going to see my mom for a day and a half. My mom's, you know, in a nursing home. She's 88. She's in a nursing home. And so we're there. We visit with her on Sunday, visit with her on Monday before we start driving back to Sugar Land. Well, on Monday, we're there in the nursing home. Got a call from John, you know, and we're there in the nursing home. One thing is we start doing, we start playing bingo. When was the last time you played bingo? And so we're in this room, about 150 folks in here playing bingo. My mom's 88. She is the kitten in this group. She is the young person in this group. And we're playing bingo, and it's kind of interesting how the competitive juices are still there with everybody. I mean, my competitive juices. I mean, we're at a table. It's my mom. It's my wife, Martha. It's me. It's one of my sisters there. And it's like Martha's not paying attention. She's doing something with her, you know, checking her emails or something. I'm saying, hey, you got to get with the program here. We got a chance to win this thing. Let's go pay attention. Pay attention. And we're playing a coverall game. Not where you're trying to get a line, but this is a coverall bingo. Coverall. But one lady over here in a wheelchair over here to our right, she goes, bingo. Well, some of the other ladies, I mean, they were into this. You know, one older lady goes, check her card. Another lady says, I don't think so. And we were doing great. I mean, we had, our cards were close to being full, but the lady right over here to our left in the blue wheelchair, she made a run right at the end and she took it from us. But I still haven't gotten over it. We were so close. Here's my point. Here's where I'm going. I sat there in that room looking at my mom in her wheelchair thinking, just 20 years ago, this was a lady who was running her own catering business, such a vibrant person. She's wasting away. The atonement doesn't keep us from wasting away in this world. You're going to get a glorious body. You don't have it yet. And folks, and the truth is, about 30 million people in our nation suffer from some sort of mental illness. And mental and emotional illnesses are just that. They are illnesses. They are biological, medical, real illnesses caused by some chemical imbalance in the brain. And strangely enough, many who could be treated don't get help because they fear some sort of rejection. And I'm thankful that in our church, and one of our elders and his wife, Hal and Bonnie Elrod, on the second Sunday of every month, they lead a support group for those of you who help those who deal with mental illness. My friends, fading health is one of the inevitable consequences of a sin-marred creation. Ron Dunn, in his wonderful book, Will God Heal Me, tells about a younger churchman, like a deacon in his church, and he goes to a nursing home to visit with the folks there, and he goes in and he sees this older lady, and you know, she's confined to her bed, and she keeps trying to understand why she is sick. Why am I sick? And she says to him, are you a churchman? And he said, well, yes, ma'am, I am. Well, can you tell me why I'm here? I just can't understand why I'm here. All my life, I've loved Jesus. I've served him. I served in the church. I sang in the choir. I gave. I raised my children to serve. Why am I here? And he just, that young man just smiled and walked over and touched her hand and smiled into her face. And he said, I know why you're here. She said, you do? Yes. Old age. We're wasting away. But listen, but inwardly getting stronger. And what that means is, in the church, we must never, ever define each other by our sickness or our handicap. You are preeminently a son or a daughter of God, a brother or sister in Christ, and to one another, when we are sick, we need to encourage each other and remind each other that you are defined not by your sickness, not by your handicap, but by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Why sometimes are people not healed? Secondly, a lack of faith. You're not going to ask for something if you don't think it's possible. And you won't ask for any kind of healing if you don't think it's possible. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. James 5, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. You'll not ask for something if you don't think it's possible. Thirdly, sometimes we don't receive a physical healing because we will not repent and confess our sins. Sometimes sickness is a discipline for a disobedient lifestyle. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Sometimes sickness is a discipline for a disobedient lifestyle. Now then, if sin automatically caused sickness, all of us would be sick every day. And when we are sick, it should prompt us to do a spiritual inventory. But an ongoing, disobedient, rebellious lifestyle may bring discipline from God. And there are times when God may use sickness as discipline. And when he does, it's an act of love. The Bible says he treats us as sons and he loves us. And he will discipline us to try to get us back on the right track. Let me ask you a personal question. Has God ever used any kind of an illness in your life to get your attention or reorient your priorities? And just to remind you about how God may use sickness as a discipline, remember this passage from 1 Corinthians 11, when some in Corinth were behaving like really bad church members, and they would come to the gathering of communion, and they would treat each other poorly. Therefore, verse 27, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. James 5, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And elders, when they engage in the ministry of anointing with oil and prayer, should ask, is there something that we need to bring out into the open? Is there an apology that needs to be made? Are you harboring bitterness and unforgiveness against someone? If you're not ready to confess sin, perhaps you're not ready to be healed. Number four, or D, sometimes a physical healing may not come because God gives us other measures of His grace instead of a physical healing. Paul says, "Oh God, please take away this thorn in my flesh." And the Lord said, 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." God allowed a physical attack upon the health of Paul in order to improve his spiritual health. And God says, "My strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness." My friends, there are worse things in your life than weakness. For example, arrogance, pride, self-sufficiency. And how will you ever know God's sustaining strength unless you find yourself at times in places of weakness? Healing is a wonderful gift, but so is endurance. And the ability to persevere with a strength that's greater than your own is a fantastic gift from God. And sometimes God wants you to know about that. Occasionally somebody will be going through a difficult time and they'll say, "Oh, is God trying to teach me something in this?" Answer, yes. God's always trying to teach you something. Teach you and me something every single day. And don't waste a day without learning something from God. And so sometimes He gives you other measures of His grace, perhaps that sustaining, persevering strength instead of a physical healing. Number five, E, and this might sound like a cop-out to you, I don't mean it to be, and this is the one word I said, I just prefer to just say this one word and let it be done at that, mystery. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." My friends, I am not afraid to acknowledge to you that I don't know, and none of us really know the specific reason behind a particular illness. The Bible doesn't give just one reason. What we're taught to do is just, is there anything for us to learn? Is there a way for me to grow? Is there something here that's prompting me to a greater degree of holiness? Is there something here that I can learn from the Lord? But mystery is the great reason. And all praise goes to God whenever a healing occurs. And all the hardball questions go to God whenever a healing does not occur. God gets all the credit. God gets all the questions. Mystery. And last of all, some benefits of the cross are not yet. Jesus completed my salvation, but I do not reap all the benefits of my salvation in this life. God's ultimate destiny for your body is to return to dust and then be resurrected and glorified. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 these words, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Today we live by faith, we live by love, we also live by hope. We face sickness with faith, and that means we will pray boldly for healing. We also face our sicknesses with hope, knowing that we are fully assured that our ultimate destiny is deliverance from disease. Today belongs to God. Tomorrow belongs to God as well. And my friends, listen carefully. What that means is that sometimes we have to help each other face death. Ron Dunn, in that book I told you about, it's a fantastic book called Will God Heal Me? Writes about this. In a small town in England, a young mother lay dying of cancer. She believed God wanted to heal her. Every day, people from her church gathered around her bed, praying for her healing, claiming her healing, urging her to claim her healing. "You're healed," they'd say to her. She agreed. One day, a pastor who knew the young family ran into her husband. "How's your wife doing?" The husband dropped his head and said, "Well, she's much worse. And 2 weeks ago, she began to deteriorate rapidly." And the pastor asked, "Well, are her friends still coming by?" "No, they've not been around in a couple of weeks." "Well, would it be all right if I came to see her?" the pastor asked. "Would you please?" said her husband. Well, the next day, the pastor quietly entered the bedroom and was shocked to see the change since the last time he saw her a few weeks ago. Her body was shrunken, her face pale and sunken, and the familiar aroma of death smothered the room. And the pastor, thinking that she was asleep, tiptoed around the bed, and suddenly her eyes opened, and she saw the pastor. "Oh, pastor," she whispered, "have you come to pray for my healing?" And the pastor gently sat down on the edge of the bed, and taking her hand in his, said, "No, Doris, I haven't come to pray for your healing. I've come to help you die." I've heard those words before personally. Back to the story. Tears filled her eyes. "Oh, pastor," she cried, "you've come to help me die. Thank you. Thank you." And for the next hour, the pastor read scripture after scripture to her, assuring her of God's presence, pointing her to the glory that awaited her. And Ron Dunn, in writing this, kept saying that one beautiful phrase over and over, as he said, "I've come to help you die." You know, we do that for each other in a lot of ways. Sometimes we help each other get our affairs in order. Sometimes we help each other say goodbye. And as believers and in this church, we need to be so connected to groups and to one another. We help each other face death and die. 15 years ago, Martha and I lost one of our best friends in the world. And I'll never forget that one fall evening. It happened to be Halloween night. I was hearing laughter and kids knock at the door and get candy. And I'm upstairs in one of our rooms talking to the wife of just one of my closest friends. We'd vacationed together, one of my wife's dearest friends. She's now been moved to a hospice. And she said, "Ronnie, I need you to help me die. I need you to talk with me through my final week or so, my final couple of weeks. I need you to speak at my funeral. I need you to help me die." We do that for each other. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back with a loud shout. I don't know what that word's going to be, but one person said that his money is on the word enough. Just enough. Enough pain. Enough sadness. Enough sickness. Enough cancer. Enough death. Just enough. And Jesus is going to come back and he's going to lead one long victory parade. And in a way, I do believe in atonement healing. Every spiritual blessing you will ever experience, you experience because of the goodness and grace of Jesus. Some of those blessings are not yet. They are on their way. By faith, can you hang on? Okay, you've been very patient. I really appreciate your attention today, and you know, I hope in some way you were encouraged with these words from Scripture. Let's close our time today with some time in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to please take your order of worship first and look at your communication card, because we invite everybody, members, guests, everyone, to please fill out that communication card, place your contact information there. If you want to talk with someone about baptism or membership, you can check the appropriate places. If you want to submit a prayer request, you can write that in. And our ushers will be collecting those cards during our time of prayer. I'm going to ask our ushers to give our folks a little time here to fill them out. But once your card is filled out, just pass it to the end of your row. And during our prayer time, those cards will be collected. Now, at this time, let me ask everybody to go ahead and be standing. Let me ask our elder couples to please come on down to the front. And during our prayer time, you're invited certainly to remain right where you are and pray, but you're also invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples. Let us partner together with you. You've got something to praise about. You've got something to pray about. It may be something celebratory. It may be something heavy upon your heart and mind. We want to pray with you, because when we pray, it's a staggeringly glorious privilege, and God goes to work in our behalf. Let's pray together, please.